Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome back to the Good Night Dad podcast. I'm General Eccles, joined again by Brandon Schumann. Hey, Brandon.
Hello.
Hey, Brandon, we're going to get started on our podcast today, but before we do, I've got to check. I got to respond to this email real quick, and okay, and let me get my phone turned off so we can really focus on this. Brandon, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, nice prop there. We're going to be talking about the new cell phone policy in the Resource Center is about to go into full effect on the Wednesday that we get back from spring break. And so we're just going to share a little bit about that, heart behind it. That's what we're going to talk about today.
All right. I feel a certain level of conviction already. Let's get into it.
What the policy simply is we're just asking students when they come into the Resource Center to silence and stow their cell phones for however long they're in the Resource Center. And for those of you that are not familiar enough with the upper school vernacular, the Resource Center is basically the library and the place of study, and there's a number of tutor offices that are in there. It's the central building on campus that's not the gym. We started this policy about 2 weeks ago where we've had a two-week interim period or phase one, and that'll continue Monday and Tuesday after you get back from spring break. It's the same policy, but instead of collecting the phones, which we'll start doing on Wednesday, we're just reminding students. So if we see a phone out, we're like, hey, would you put your phone away while you're in the Resource Center? That's what we've been doing. And so far, the response has been mostly positive. Definitely been a change and brought some inconveniences into everybody's life. But it's also going for a higher purpose. On Wednesday, we'll start collecting phones when we see them out in the Resource Center. And we'll take them up and put them behind the front desk there. Students can pick those up at 12:15 if they get their phone picked up in the morning. Or if it's after lunch, then they'll get it at 3:15. And we've had some good questions from parents about that. Just to set the record straight, if a student gets their phone taken up at, say, 12:45 during the lunch hour, and they have a 1:15 class, and then they're going to leave for the day at 2:15, do they get their phone at 2:15, or do they have to wait until 3:15, or do they have to come back at 3:15? And the answer is you can get your phone at 2:15 when you're leaving campus for the day.
Good.
On that, so you don't have to make an extra trip just to come and pick up the phone. That's the policy, and we're asking students to be honest on that so they're not just, hey, I'm leaving campus, and then you see them walking around 35 minutes later with their phone.
What's been the response, student-wise and parent-wise?
Mostly positive. Been a lot of enthusiasm from parents that has been verbalized to me. We've had some honest questions, and then a couple that are, I'm not a big fan of it, but okay, it's your school, so you can do what you want. It's been a good response from students as well on the whole. No one likes having their freedom taken away. It's definitely natural when you've become accustomed to something or you've become accustomed to a certain way of doing things or having a freedom, and then suddenly that's gone, or a piece of it's gone, the first thing is it's going to feel like, ugh, what's going on? But as students have stopped and gotten past that initial reaction and thought about it, I've had a lot of really good feedback from eighth graders all the way up to seniors on how they appreciate what's going on, and they do see the heart and the value behind it and are willing, I think, to put a good faith effort into it, and that's really encouraging.
Y'all did have an assembly presentation building up to this and explaining the basis for the changes.
Yes. As teachers, some of us went and spoke to some individual students ahead of time to let them know about the policy and said, we don't know what's going to happen on this. I mean, here's the heart behind it. Here's what we're trying to do, and here's what your role is. I went and spoke to a number of strategic stakeholders and said, hey, this policy is largely going to stand or fall based on how you and maybe about 20 others do this. And most of them were students that were in the Resource Center a good bit, kind of upperclassmen, because the policy isn't for students that don't come to the Resource Center, obviously.
Right.
What I told them, especially those upperclassmen students, if you continue to come into the Resource Center, study as you always have been, and just are willing to put your phone away, then this policy is largely going to work. We're not going to have to spend a ton of time policing this thing. But if you take the more convenient route of saying, you know what, I want my phone, I'm just going to go to my car, you're probably going to be getting less studying done, and then this policy is done the opposite of what it attempted to do, and then other students will continue to follow your pattern. And so really, we can set this policy in motion, but all of the power is in your hands. And that's a really exciting thing, that you as a 15-year-old or 16-year-old or 17-year-old have the opportunity to really influence and lead MCA culture and help shape that, not just for this year, but for the future. I think the policy is in good hands because the students are really rising to the occasion, which is really encouraging to me.
Explain the heart of the matter. What are we really trying to accomplish?
The heart of it is that phones in particular have become kind of this omnipresent tool constantly demanding our attention. And sometimes it's demanding our attention for important things and sometimes for unimportant things. As a tool, it can really begin to affect how we do life and how we do school and how we think. And as a classical school, we're not trying to train students to know certain bits of information. We're trying to train them how to think for themselves and to have their own thoughts. But if they're in the library or the resource center doing schoolwork, but then they're just constantly getting pinged every 15.4 seconds about something, they don't have time to think their own thoughts, at least not on any sort of complex level. If you're trying to read through the Iliad and it's rage, gotta sing the rage of Achilles, murderous, doomed, bing! Hey, what are we doing for lunch today? Goddess, sing of this rage of Achilles and how so many Achaeans died in this war of Troy. Bing! I think we're going to Whataburger. It's hard to read and follow
That's a good
great
example.
Books. And another analogy is like if you're trying to bake a cake. I'm not a cake baker, but if you're trying to bake a cake, you put this in the oven for an hour or however long, it's probably some ridiculous time, but an hour at 300 degrees, but then you're opening the oven every minute. That cake's not going to rise. It's going to take longer, and it's going to be flat. Students often complain about how the homework load is hard, and it is, but also when you've got this interference that is slowing the process down and shortening the level of thought in it, that does make it harder. I would agree that would be frustrating on that. And this resource center policy isn't going to change everything. It's just trying to give students that are at school where a lot of the time is spent doing homework, it's just trying to give them a fighting chance of an oasis of a place where you don't have to be interfered with all of the time. It's a fasting principle as well.
Would it be okay if I just came and hung out for a couple hours and y'all would take my phone if I was abusing my privileges? It sounds like heaven to me, how things have been going lately. Just it seems like it's just a culmination of the demands of our time and the ding, 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 and it's just become a part of our lives. I'm glad y'all are willing to take action, not so much to bring some sort of hard correction, isn't the sense I'm getting. It's just to offer a better experience while they're in that environment.
It's part of this freedom V thing. I mean, some students have said, hey, is this taking away our freedom, or what about this whole idea of self-governance? And I think this fits within that. I mean, we're not policing this throughout the school. We're not going to say, hey, get off your phone if you're in the breezeway or in the student center. Students are welcome to do that, and that's fine, and that's good, and we have no interest in trying to eradicate cell phones from campus. It's just trying to give one safe place where they can come without having the phone interrupting them, where it is their own time, so to speak. As part of the Freedom V, 10 years ago, we didn't need to have this policy because these things weren't all over the place and they weren't omnipresent. But as culture has widened the freedom and infused a bunch of freedom into our junior high and high school students' lives, what we've done is said, okay, that's a lot of freedom to handle and it's hard. Let's put a little bit of boundaries in place to help them learn to manage that. And if nothing else, even if they don't come to the resource center, it still is a sense of awareness of there is the possibility of life without my phone for 30 minutes or an hour or something along those lines.
And we just recently had some family come and visit, and they've got two small kids. Just noticed how times have changed so quickly in the last few years. And I don't know if this is normal for everybody or just abnormal for us, but it's like you go to the restaurant and they just distribute the media devices almost on a pacifier level. And then once the meal's there, they take up the pacifier media device. And then as soon as they eat, literally 5 minutes later, they give them the pacifier media device back. The fact that they're on a phone or watching something that's kind of meaningless, that's a separate discussion. But just what was missed during the opportunity, and we get to see family maybe once or twice a year, and it's just completely missed because they're watching something they've watched multiple times. And it's hard not to go off on a tangent on it. But the other thing I would challenge parents, I just recently got introduced to an idea or a question that's helped me readdress a lot of things. In Ben Sasse's book, The Vanishing American Adult, it's speaking specifically to the education problem in America. And it asks the question, if this were inflicted on us from an outside power, what would our response be? it's talking about education, but I've started looking at everything from if the average American diet was inflicted, it demanded of me by some outside power, what would my response be? And would I be quite as interested or motivated to have a chicken fried steak today if somebody told me, no, you're going to eat this? That's the way that we're trying to approach this as a family concerning our media. If some outside force demanded that your kids are going to have a cell phone and they're going to look at it every time it dings, they're going to acknowledge it, we're going to demand that distraction, what would your response be? If it was some outside force that was inflicting that instead of me as a parent just allowing that and creating that to be the normal thing.
And it is a force. I mean, it's a cultural force. If somebody's trying to get my attention, I need to respond to it. They may not be, but that's
right.
It dings, it gives that impression.
Exactly. Something about that question gave me a whole different perspective about it. If some outside force demanded that Cademan, our youngest son, spend at least 1 hour playing video games and then 2 hours watching two episodes of something on Netflix and then 30 minutes reading some book just for the fun of it, I would have a whole different attitude about what he does when he gets home after school. But instead, we just kind of allow these things to happen. I just offer that as a tool, I guess, just a perspective trigger, I guess, in a sense that there's things in your home that you can recognize and you need a little extra motivation, just apply that question or that principle to it. And again, not to go off on a tangent, it's not about bringing some severe hard correction, but I think we're at a point in a culture where there's a certain level of healthy conviction in this. And I just appreciate, Brennan, I appreciate y'all and what you're trying to do at MCA just to provide some relief. And I think ultimately how I look at it is this is going to amount to proof that there's just a better way to live, and not so much getting rid of the thing, but just living better.
Phones are a tool, and they're a great tool, but right. They're not meant to be our life. There's a lot of benefits that come from cell phones. A great way to communicate messages, share images, or share like a piece of a moment that we're having by here's a picture of what's going on. I mean, you've got lots of customizable apps that can either entertain or make our life easier by measuring and tracking things that we want to be about and to remind us of things. At the same time, they have a propensity, if we're not careful, to become our source of government, and they can become an idol, unintentionally so. But what we're doing is just trying to give a space in the Resource Center to help them to taste and see that there is another way that might be better. That's not necessarily a wrong, right thing in every occasion. Most often it's not. Here's something better for you, and we want to strive for that. Our slogan is not engaging Facebook, pursuing likes and discovering convenience, but engaging minds, pursuing Christ, and discovering greatness. And it is an inconvenience by having this policy that's there. It makes it more difficult for moms to get in touch with their students when they're there to pick them up. But it may be a good thing to just park the car occasionally and just walk in and just physically be present and take an extra 3 minutes. I'm not saying that that needs to happen every time. Showing up on campus and walking in can just have a powerful presence and just give moms and dads a better sense of awareness of what's going on. And yeah, that is an inconvenience because it's 5 more minutes or however long. It's inconvenient for the students because there are some assignments that we give that are like Google Classroom or things like that, and phones can be a great way to get that done. And we're asking students to, okay, don't do this while you're in the Resource Center because there's obviously not any way we can police that. And then it's inconvenient for the staff at the front desk and for tutors. I mean, it's just a lot easier to just see somebody that's on their phone and just leave them alone and live and let live. Convenience is a good thing, but ultimately it's convenient towards what end? Is it just settling through life? Or is the real thing that we're trying to be about is thinking and being physically present with those that are around us and be the kind of people that don't have to have their phone telling them what to do or what to think about all the time? And if that's the ultimate end, then phones, in a sense, can be a great inconvenience towards that higher end. And so, again, convenient to what end? I forgot to mention this earlier about the policy. We are allowing tablets and laptops in the Resource Center. So if students want to listen to music that way or work on assignments there, and we're fully aware that most computers and tablets have all the same mechanisms that a phone does. They tend to not be as personalized And if students are up to nonsense on it, then you can more easily see it on a bigger screen. And their face usually isn't just 6 inches from the computer screen, unless they're just really immersed in typing their paper or something like that. All that to say, that's what we're going for. We're not trying to be this heavy police, but just trying to offer a better way. As moms and dads, encourage you to consider what are your own home policies as well. And if this gives a platform for you to examine your own home life or for your own son or daughter, great. And if that's not something you're interested in, that's fine too. I mean, we're not trying to tell you here's how you got to do things at home. This is something that we felt like we needed to do and offer for the sake of our community, even though it's inconvenient and the things that we've grown accustomed to.
Well, man, thanks just for the insight and kind of establishing a better basis for the policy. Man, parents, it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity for discussion. And like Brandon said, just maybe assess things within your home and maybe begin to adopt some of these same times where just the focus is more intent on bigger and greater things.
Just end with the words of Jesus, which is, where your cell phone is, there your heart will be also. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering